We didn't even know he was going to be there that day. We thought he, you know, we were so lucky to even see him then. We knew he was to be there the following day, but the day after that, we didn't know. So, Baba embraced us, and we came out of the room, and Nadine Tolstoy was there then. We knew her well, and it proved that Baba had just been holding the gates of tears closed for Jean, because when we came out of the room, the gates opened up again, and the tears began to flow again, and Nadia Tolstoy took Jean into her room and into her bosom so that she could go through this cleansing of the shedding of tears and the joy, the release, whatever it is. And this was our first day with Baba. And we were filled with wonder. And I won't go into a lot of details about where we stayed that night, but we did stay with this little elderly lady, and it was an adventure in itself. But the following afternoon, we were to go to the home of the Stokes in Greenwich Village, 88 Grove Street. And they have a nice home there, a beautiful home. Matisse Stokes is elderly, but still living there. And Graham, of course, has long since dropped his body. But on this afternoon, it had been scheduled for some, perhaps 400 people to come to see Baba and have a very brief encounter with him. And for that many people to pass before him, they had to have an arrangement where they would be coming and going, you know, some leaving and some arriving, all during the period while he would be there. In their home, there's a stairway when you come in the lower door, going to an upstairs library, a nice, large library, with a mezzanine balcony, and this little meditation room off the mezzanine balcony in the stairway, a little stairway going up to it. And Baba was in this little meditation room, sitting in a green chair at the end of it. The green chair is now at the barn, in the barn, at the center in Myrtle Beach. And it's the green chair on your right as you come in by the fireplace there. And as it came our turn to go up to have our contact with Baba, someone whispered to us, no questions, just a brief contact. An encounter is, of course, the word. And later on, Jean and I compared notes, and we both felt that when we went in, of course, there he was, the divine being, sitting there, great power emanating from him, and beauty and love. And this time we just fell into his arms and were embraced by him. And then we just backed out. But we both felt, we said, in talking about it, some inkling of his power. Probably, there's no way of measuring how minute it was, but it seemed like just a little glimpse. And when we came out, there were four of us who'd come there. I neglected to mention this. Another young fellow, a young woman. And I'm still suffering from having missed Baba in 1932, and so reluctant to leave as we were supposed to, like the others. And I now feel that Baba must have flashed to me. I know through the years now many instances where he would flash things to you to tell you what to do. And Jean knows this, and many have experienced it. But I suddenly got the idea. There are chairs in the back that no one is using. And so I was getting this idea, and I said, let's go back there and sit there as long as we can. And if they don't want us to stay here, they'll just tell us to go, and we'll go. So we did. And we sat there for like 2 hours or 2.5 hours. And it was like a front row seat at what? Anyway, every time that door was open for someone to go in, we could see Baba and feel the waves of love. At that time, we weren't aware of the fact, we didn't think that far, that the doors or the walls or anything else could not stop the waves of love that were coming out from him. They were coming anyway. Nothing could stop them. And we were being enveloped. And you know, that afternoon, four people became intoxicated. We became drunk with Baba's love. We just became inebriated. Really. And we were still there when everyone else had gone. And someone came out to turn the lights up and even to go up after Baba, and Baba came out. And as he walked down the stairs, you can just see him slowly. And he looked lovingly over at us. He didn't mind at all that we had stayed. And we didn't mind, I assure you. And he was up to us, up to our tricks to see more of him. And then he went off into a side room. And it was obviously time for us to go downstairs and get our wraps and leave. But then right away, you know, oh, he's got to come down the stairs. You know, if we hurry up and get down there, maybe we'll catch another glimpse. So we did. And we were in the crowd when he came down. And he, with a look of mischief and understanding and appreciation and love, he found us with his love glances. And approvingly, you know. And, but that look of mischief, I'm on to you. And love glances. Love glances. Of course, so he left. And we were just floating on air, and like children. When we were out on the street, we couldn't contain ourselves to walk like normal, respectable adults. We were skipping arm in arm like children, with utter abandon. We didn't care what anybody thought or anything else. We just weren't there at their level anymore. We'd left all that behind. So this was the second day. And the third day was yet to come, the Friday. And this was back at the hotel. We were to see him. And on this day, we went up to Baba's suite of room. And we went in, and someone took our winter wraps. And this day, Baba was in another room, more like a drawing room, a living room. And it was several stories up in the hotel, and the sun was coming through the windows. But right away, I became aware of something more radiant than the sunshine. Something brighter, something mysteriously more beautiful. A special I can ever think of to describe it was a glory. We have read at the outset how he could remove the veils and reveal himself, you know, to persons or groups, whatever, anytime he wished. I suppose he didn't remove much of a veil, but for us it was a great revelation. This was a peek at the glory of Christ. There he was. But even so, he was not somber or solemn. He was sparklingly radiant and beautiful. And he motioned for us to come and sit near him. And this young couple had also come with us that day, and they sat on one side, and Jean sat on the other side, close to Baba. But so far, I had not been able to get close enough to him. And I was just searching, what do I do? And now I know that Baba quickly flashed to me. I thought it was my own idea at the time. Ah, I wonder if I could just kneel in front of Baba and sit back on my heels, and I would be very close to him. And so it was clear that I could do that. Isn't it wonderful how quickly he responded to my dilemma, how he does that with us, and how quickly he gives us a solution if we will be sensitive to what he's flashing to us, and but mainly how to get closer to him, how to come closer. Through the years, we discovered that many things, you know, comparing notes that one secretly thought about, you know, doing around the beloved, things that, you know, might seem impossible, really impossible. He would know about these things. And suddenly it would open up. And we wouldn't be sharp enough to know that this was our opportunity. He would even have to flash that to us. That here's your opportunity to do it. I know it took me years to discover that this was how he worked. I didn't know that. I thought it was my clumsy mind figuring it out slowly. I wouldn't have figured it out. And I would have missed. But he didn't want us to miss. And how great. How great is his love for us. So, again, there was no need for words, although he did say that through love, you will come to see me as I really am. We were confused by this. It was wonderful for him to say that, but we could not imagine anything more lovely, more wonderful, more beautiful than he was as we saw him then. Of course, as time went on, we began to realize that that was the cloak he wore. But we will always cling to that cloak because it is our way of coming to him. It can never be discarded. It is eternal, that cloak. That lovely face and form. We must think of that, of him as that. Love me with all your hearts and your level, he said, and I will take you to my level. That's his work. So we couldn't imagine what it would be like to see him as he really was and is. So he said some other things, but I'm so wonderstruck at this wonderful thing that is happening, this incredibly wonderful thing in a century, and that we were actually there experiencing it. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if Baba gave us some little thing as a token as a memento for this occasion. Those were my exact words, my thoughts. Instantly, Baba snapped his fingers and motioned for Chanji to bring a rose. And to my delight and surprise, Baba peeled off a petal and handed each one of us a petal to keep, quote, as a memento for this occasion. So I'm sure that each one of the others had thoughts and feelings equally as deep and wonderful as those that I was having. But I can only relate my own. Perhaps I hope that Jean will have more opportunity to speak because she has many wonderful, beautiful stories to tell of her relationship with Baba. but I suddenly realized here Baba is sitting with his legs crossed and his lovely foot was right in front of me, the foot of Christ. I became fascinated with it. I was reminded of things as always around Baba, things from the New Testament, about the woman who had come with the precious oils and anointed Jesus' feet over the protests of some people who thought that she shouldn't be wasting that oil on Jesus' feet. And Jesus rebuked them and said, you do not have the others with you, but now he is with you. I'm transposing the words. And of how she wiped his feet with her long hair, you know. And I was just overcome with an urge to kiss that foot. And would I ever again have an opportunity to kiss the foot of Christ? And I looked at it, you know. I looked up, and everybody was looking. Oh, gosh, I said, I can't do that. But I still had that urge to kiss his foot. And I looked up, and nobody was looking. Not even Baba. Everybody was looking away. of course, the pilot had practically hit me on the head and said, this is your chance, do it. So I did. I kissed his foot, lovely foot. What a blessing to be allowed to do that. I hope that you will feel that somehow vicariously through me you did it too. And a couple of minutes later, Baba drew me over to him. And I bobbed my head, but he lifted my head. I didn't know what he wanted to do. But he reached over and kissed me. It was a lovely gesture. I never attributed any special spiritual significance to it then, nor have I since. I don't know what. I only know that it was lovely for him to have done that. And I shall be forever grateful. This was the first meeting. These were the first meetings with Bama, the beloved Bama. And he gave us so much love and so many things that we were not aware of, we could not measure at the time. Part of his awakening, it was the beginning of opening up vast areas within us, which hitherto had been unknown, inaccessible, impenetrable, but he had begun to unlock the real of his own being within our consciousness, the reality of his own being. He had begun to redeem us. I had experienced being born of the Spirit, even having had a glimpse of the Kingdom of Heaven through Jesus, the same Divine Beloved. But this was a new era, a new beginning for us of a new testament, the testament of this age. And again, a new redemption, a new life of the Spirit. He always made it possible for us to come to him, not only in the physical, but in the Spirit as well. And he makes it possible for us to know that we are Spirit. We are eternal Spirit. We belong to him. We are his sheep. And on more than one occasion, he has given me, and I'm sure so many others, including perhaps everyone here, a living experience of the lovely Psalm of David. The 23rd Psalm. He fulfills this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He is our Lord. I shall not want. I have no need for want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He stills the inner turmoil. He gives me tranquility. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death that is here and in the west and in the world, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. He is always with us. Thy rod, the rod of the shepherd, and my staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, my inner enemies, the worlds. We have worlds within, which tantalize us, which allure us, which snare us, would keep us bound to illusion. He gives us strength and sets a table before us in the presence of those enemies. And they are powerless in his presence. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over with joy, with peace, with beauty, with love. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do I have time for one more reading? Which is a solace to us. Again in 1954, Baba had been talking about dropping his body. And we were suffering much anguish over even the thought of it. His lovers throughout the world. So he sent forth this message. Here is the whole thing, dated 8th of October, 1954. Dear lovers, after Avatar Mihir Baba's return to Sitar from Mehrabad, there was a heavy rush of letters and telegrams here to the 7th of October, and all of them were given replies of assurances yesterday evening. Yesterday at 7 p.m., Baba gave up the alphabet board, and since that moment, all the doors through which external relation was maintained with Baba have also been closed. Your letters, filled to the brim with deep love, were received in the right time and were read out to Baba. In reply to them all, Baba said, quote, "There is no reason at all for any of you to worry. Baba was, Baba is, and Baba will also be eternally existent. Severance of external relations does not mean the termination of internal links. It was only for establishing the internal connection the external contacts had been maintained till now. The time has now come for being bound in the chain of internal connections. Hence, external contact is no longer necessary. It is possible to establish the internal link by obeying Baba's orders. I give you all my blessings for strengthening these internal links. I am always with you, and I am not away from you. I was, am, and will remain eternally with you. And it is for promoting this realization that I have severed external contact. This will enable all persons to realize truth by being bound to each other with internal links. Oh, my lovers, I love you all. It is only because of my love for my creation that I have descended on earth. Let not your hearts be torn asunder by my declarations concerning the dropping of my body. On the contrary, accept my divine will cheerfully. You can never escape from me, even if you tried to escape from me. It is not possible to get rid of me. Therefore, have courage and be brave. If you thus lose your hearts, how will it be possible for you to fulfill the great task which I have entrusted to you? Be brave and spread my message of love far and wide to all quarters in order to fulfill my divine will. Let the words Baba, Baba come forth from every nook and corner of the world and from the mouth of every child, and let their ignorance be reduced to ashes by the burning flame of my love. Come together in order to fulfill my will by taking your stand on truth, love, and honesty, and be worthy of participating in my task. I give you all my blessings for spreading my message of love. Mayor Bob. Thank you. Well, ever since coming to Baba in the early 30s, I had longed through the years for the time when eventually I would have the opportunity to come to India and to be with Baba in his heartland. And this finally came about in September 1954, some 28 years ago, this very month. And I'd been with Baba very intimately at Scarsdale in 1952, helping him a lot. Baba had a cast on his leg and his left arm was in a sling. And he had arranged for me to be with him for 2.5 weeks and be all the time, very intimate. And toward the end of Baba's stay, Nilu, who was there with Baba, one day got talking with me, and he just wagged his head and said, "Come to India." And the way he said it, it was almost as if Baba was saying, "Come to India." And I really got a thrill out of it, because it seemed to me at long last that maybe it could happen. So in the spring of 1954, lo and behold, a message came from Baba inviting any of his Western and all of his Western men, lovers, devotees, friends, interested persons who could afford to come to India to be his guest for approximately 3 weeks. And we would cable Baba our reply. Of course, when I received that, just reading it, already my trip began in the spirit. And of course I mentioned it to Jean. She saw the cable, the invitation and all, and of course we had 3 children there, but they were big. And we all agreed that I should come. And I saw a way of being able to pay the way. I could borrow the $1,172 from my pension fund, and it could be taken out on a weekly basis, and it wouldn't be too painful at all. And so I cabled Baba that I was coming. And that was 4 months before the actual trip began, but during that 4 months I was traveling in the spirit to India. And when the time finally came to come to India, of course we traveled by propeller plane in those days, and it was supposed to take 48 hours, but it actually took us twice that long. I won't go into that. That's a story in itself. But I'm sure that Baba, I wanted to see something of the world, because, you know, I thought, I'll never make a trip like this again. And I know that Baba planned everything, even to my staying over at the Star and Garter Hotel in Richmond Hill, suburb of London, where Baba had been, you know, and even going to the pyramids and all that. So I knew right along that Baba was indulging my secret wish to see a little along the way. But we arrived in Bombay and stayed at the Grand Hotel, and we were there a couple of nights, and there were some 18 men who eventually came. We didn't all arrive at the same time. Some came a little bit later than others, like Dr. Ben Heeman and Mr. Hendrickson and so on. But all told, there were 18 men. And Amerji and Nariman and Arnavas and Havavi and Hoshang took us in tow. And they had a chartered bus. They put us on the bus and took us up to Pune for a nice lunch at the Napier Hotel, and then on toward Ahmednagar. And at the outset, we were led to believe that we would be stationed with Baba lovers in the town of Ahmednagar, one here and one there. But it wasn't until we were on our way here that we found out that of all places, we were going to stay on the hill in their retreat, in the very room which had been served for the sequestered Eastern and Western women. And we arrived here around 10 o'clock in the evening of the 11th, 1954. Baba was not here physically. He was over at Marazad. But we had a few moments to look around, and we started to do that. But Baba's presence was so intense here that I kept saying, where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? And somehow, I don't know, I seemed to focus on the stones of the building. They seemed to be bouncing off Baba's loving presence. And as often happened, something from the New Testament flashed through my mind. The story of how one day Jesus and his close disciples were at the foot of the mountains, and they were so exuberant with joy at being so near to Jesus that they couldn't contain themselves, and they were making a lot of noise, you know. They were very exuberant. And some people coming by were annoyed by the noise, and they spoke to Jesus, can't you make them be quiet? And Jesus said, no. If they didn't speak out, the very stones would speak out. And that's what I felt was happening here. The very stones were shouting out Baba's presence, radiating his presence. So this was the beginning of the wonder of the stay, which later turned out to be what we described as three incredible weeks with Mayor Baba in India. And each succeeding day seemed to become more incredible than the previous ones. And we were treated royally. We were Baba's guests. And the excellent food was supplied. There were two station wagons with drivers to take us wherever Baba wanted us to go. And we stayed here mostly. But the following day, we didn't know anything about this when we came, but the following day was to be the huge last mass darshan at Gwadia Park at Ahmednagar. So we were piled into the station wagon early in the morning, wagons, and brought into Gwadia Park. And already many thousands of people had come, and there was a great, huge pandal there, very colorful. Pandal, of course, is a tent without sides. And as they do here in India, the women and girls were sitting on one side and the men and boys on the other. And Baba had instructed that we Westerners should sit on the platform and be near Baba's chair. And there was a bhajan group on the ground just below, and a PA system, and the music was really great. And people were still coming from all directions, many on bicycles, of course, thousands walking, some by car. And there was even one who came on an elephant. And for we from the West, it was just a pageant of color and beauty and wonder. And so shortly after we had arrived, Baba arrived and stepped onto the platform. And he was so beautiful and so dynamic and sparkling. And he just gave us a quick, you know, flashing glance, you know. And he walked over to the fore part of the platform and prostrated himself in front of that vast multitude. And when he stood up, he used the board, and Erich translated, in order to save you the trouble of bowing down to me, I bow down to you. And then he quickly walked down the steps and sat first with the women and then with the men, and came back up and said, in order for you to help you to understand that I am one of you and one with you, I have come down to sit with you. And this was the beginning of the day. And Baba did sit back in his chair for a while. And there were six young women in beautiful blue saris who came and ranged themselves along each side in the front. And they sang a lovely aarti to Baba.
There were some political speeches, I suppose, that we didn't understand the Indian language. And then it was time for the avatar to go to work. So he took off his coat, and he rolled up his sleeves. Oh, I missed one thing. Of course, he also, you must have read, he also took time to wash the feet of seven poor men and bow down and touch his head to their feet and give each one of them 51 rupees. And he said, as each one of you is in one way or another an incarnation of God, I take pleasure in giving you this Devdakshan, which is a gift to a God incarnate. And then he walked to the edge of the platform and sat with his feet dangling over, and huge containers of, I think they were like peanuts or sugar-coated for him to give out as a prasad. And so he started doing this, and several hundred girls, women, and even young girls with young women with babes in arms would come in front of him, and each receive a contact, a loving contact with him, and some prasad, and they would put garlands of sweet-smelling flowers around his neck, or give him bouquets, or have some fruit which he would touch and give back to them as his prasad. And then that line would be stopped, and some men and boys would come. And this was the beginning of what was going on all day. And so Philip Dupuy and I thought to see Baba a little better, so we scooted around and sat in the front for a little bit. And Baba looked over there, and he just twinkled his eyes and gave us a glance like that. But then we came back and stayed on the platform, and we were free to move around. But it was the beginning of a day of divine love in action, really divine love in action. There are movies, but no movie can really convey the intensity, the purity, the luminosity, and the beauty of divine love in action. And this is what we watched, hour after hour. And you know, you could not be in such a situation and remain static. Something happens. You begin to have a subjective experience. Things open up within that you didn't even know were there, and one is plunged into a struggle to grasp the significance of what is happening. The outer thing was so beautiful and so amazing, so incredible, but something more was happening at an inner level, and one could sense that. What is it? What is it that's really happening? What is it, this transference, this giving of the divine love? How is that happening? And I know I was plunged into this deep struggle to grasp the significance of it. And I think this is one of the impelling reactions that one gets in the presence of divine love, that one must try to fathom its significance. Of course, divine love is total significance, and there's never any way to fathom its significance. But we must try. And this is part of our awakening. I feel this is part of Baba's way of awakening our consciousness, because we struggle to see more deeply into the meaning of divine love. And one can see into it. I found that out. One can even see love around Baba. Imagine seeing love. So, well, this went on hour after hour, and sometimes whole groups of men could not contain themselves any longer. Baba was so magnetic that everyone just could not wait to get up to touch him in some way, to have a contact with him. And sometimes whole sections of men would rise up as if with one spirit and surge forward, you know, and Baba would stand up and tell them to be patient. They would get their turn. But I thought, well, what is the matter? Aren't they getting the same love that we're getting here? Don't they know they're getting it? So I walked off the platform and took a walk way out around the whole pandal. It was just as intense out there as it was up near the platform. So they were all being enveloped and permeated with this love. But the funny thing of it is that you're never satisfied. That only arouses you to a greater intensity of longing to come closer to that wellspring of divine love. And so that was it. I've later on in years thought that Baba was doing universal work there. It wasn't just confined to those 80 to 100,000 people who were there that day. Baba did not pray for anything except to go and sit in a nearby field where there were some 20,000 poor people waiting to be given a free meal. But they did not want to start until Baba would come and just sit with them for a moment, which he did. And he came back and continued. And when his right arm would wear out, he would start with his left arm, and so on, back and forth. And when his neck would get piled up with so many flowers, they would be taken off. And before long, there were big piles of sweet-smelling flowers all around Baba. And it was very fragrant and beautiful. And as I say, watching this and being exposed to the impact of divine love, things were happening within. I suppose with everyone, I bet I can only speak for myself. And for me, it was a source of just immense wonder. And as the hours went by, my great wonder deepened into amazement. And I was finally, I suppose, astounded. And I did not know what was happening. But I later on realized that as a result of the impact of even that one day, that with the love of the Christ, can you imagine? I know that I experienced a deep shock, a deep love shock that lasted, it probably still there to some extent. I don't think it would ever wear off. But it makes such an impact that one is just somewhere within, just completely wiped out, overwhelmed by such an intense exposure to divine love. Well, this was our first day, can you imagine? And so, of course, I'm just giving you a thumbnail sketch of it all. And when finally 6 o'clock came, Baba had scheduled to leave then, and he climbed on top of a car, and it was a very magical moment. The setting sun was there, and that made it nice and luminous, but Baba's luminous love seemed to just permeate and envelop the whole area. It was just a magnificent and very divinely magical moment. Excuse me. Well, the following day, of course, we were here, and Baba did not come out. I suppose he wanted to give us a little time to try to assimilate something of what we had been exposed to. And, of course, needless to say, that was only a beginning. I'm still struggling to assimilate those things. I'm sure they're at rest. So it wasn't until the second day that Baba came out here. And when he came on up on the hill, he greeted everyone in a very friendly way. Some were meeting Baba for the first time, actually. And it would be like with a hand clasp and, you know, a very, you know, good fellow, camaraderie sort of attitude, you know, to make us feel relaxed. And I know I had colored sunglasses on, and Baba looked at my sunglasses and he said, and I was glad he did. Yeah, I didn't realize it interfered with our eye-to-eye relationship. And we walked around. Baba began showing us a few things, and then he asked if anybody knew how to play marbles. And we said, yes, a little bit. So he suggested we all go to a place over in there, and drew a line, and marble was put over there, and we all took turns shooting at this marble, playing marbles with Baba. And this relaxed everybody. They felt more at ease. And Baba then took us on a tour, you know, around the, imagine the avatar giving us a guided tour of everything. All by, yeah. And even way out in the back, there was a little building where he used to be in meditation, with the building with a little window where he would reach through for his food or have his board and write on his point of the fingers on his board there. And he told us many little stories about what had happened here and there, and then he took us to the tomb, and of course later on down Lower Mahrabad and all that. And the opportunity finally came to be with Baba, you know, alone for the first time, a private interview. And these were held over in that little room which faces the hill on the opposite side. I guess the library's there, isn't it? Yeah. And it was a room that was being used by Will Backett and Charles Purdom, but they vacated the room for that day. And each one was allowed to come in and have, you know, quite a few minutes with Baba alone. And when I came in, of course, there was Baba and Erich there. I'd never met Erich before. And this was sort of funny because Baba introduced me to Erich with Erich reading the board. So Erich said, reading Baba's board, "Darwin, this is Erich."